Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We are on our Foundation 12, talking about divine healing. And last Sunday, when we were sharing about the foundational truth of what it was, you know, to continually believe God, to be a part of the family of God, the church. Church is not about the building, but it's about the people. And as a result of that, being a part of that collective family of believers, we enjoy the benefits. And the benefit is that we are able to agree with you for miracles, for healing, for signs and wonders, and for the rest of the blessing that God has in store for you. Being part of one body, the joy and the pain of one part is being felt by everybody. So when you think you are the only one going through hard times, no, that's the trick of the enemy, because all of us are with you. All of us are going through the same issues and maybe the same trial, and yet we depend upon the same word, the same Jesus. And what we were singing today, he is the miracle worker and light in the darkness, light the night. Hallelujah. You can go away with that. We just kind of maintain everything in the mainstream of the Holy Spirit because we want to have a unified message. Message here in the pulpit and message even to the community is consistent. So we want to continually bring in the solid truth of the Word of God. And today, talking about divine healing, that's about the result of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Those are the benefits of what it is to be a part of his body, because Christ is the head and we are the body. Jesus wants his body healed.
Come on, hey.
And if you are a part of his body, he wants you healed. Tell your neighbor, he wants you to be healed. You are his body. Christ is, by the way, I'm not the head here. Pastor Adon is not the head. Nobody is the head here. Jesus Christ is the head. And that we are all his body. And therefore, you have the whole benefit of what it is to be well in your body, well in your mind, well in your heart, wellness in everything. And if you suffer just a little bit, watch this word, for a while. That's the key phrase. You suffer a little bit just for a while. I'm not yet on my sermon. I'm just kind of warming up after worship, and maybe I'm trying really to cool down. Because I need to, it's not in my outline, but somehow the Lord just brought it up early this morning. He says in James chapter 5, verse 11, you know, I have to get off of that because everybody feels something. Everybody has a little trial, has a little test that you're going to, not only physically, health-wise, financially, relationally. Oh, every angle of your life, you feel something. And here's what the word of the Lord for you to hear, be even before you hear the main message today. Verse 5:11, James, we give great honor to those who endure suffering. If you're enduring a suffering, we give you honor. And who's the one who's honoring you first? God is honoring you. Even before you pray, help! I was telling the brother this morning, hi, nephew, give me a wave. You're the nephew right there. There you go. I prayed with him this morning when he came to the front. When I say, God is with you and he carries you in his hand, I just kind of affirm, and while we were all praying here in front, these words were reviverating, that if you're going through something and that you are enduring that suffering, God honors you. He has great honoring your faith, because he said, for instance, you know about Job, a man with great endurance, you can see how the Lord was kind to him. You're a candidate to the kindness of God. Who wants God's kindness this morning? When you go through suffering, you are a candidate to God's kindness. Who would want to refuse God's kindness?
Right.
You want it. I want it. Okay. God will be kind to him at the end. And the Lord is full of, oh, I melt tenderness and mercy. That means towards you, his tenderness and mercy. I can't resist this word. I have to give in into the process on what it is that before you enter your fullness, your healing, your wellness, your deliverance, whatever that is, your miracle, you're already guaranteed of the tender mercies of God, Amen. His kindness to you. So never doubt that. So when you go through a little bit of the time of suffering for a while, that's what I want. This is just for a while. Amen. This is just for a while. This is not going to be forever. And if you're convinced with us, you are going to endure. God's kindness will be with you. God's mercy will be with you. God's tenderness. I don't know how would that be. When you are in pain and suffering, God's tenderness really comforts you. He soothes the pain in the process. And you will know exactly what is hard for you. Open your Bibles to the story that we are going to unfold on divine healing. The rest of the verses on top of the title. If you bring the in your lesson this week through the app that we are having. Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5. James chapter 5 14, 16. And 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. All of that will be foundation in the app. Bible engagement. Okay, you will find all of those scriptures. They are fantastic. They are just superb scriptures that has been taken out of the Bible to bring in the light to divine healing. But we're going to focus on the story of the paralytic man that Jesus healed. In the lesson this week, you will be talking about the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. You know why I'm explaining this to you? To excite you for Bible engagement project this week. All right, come on, Pastora, I want even 100% to lock into Zoom or into in-person on Thursday here, in-person. So you can directly ask questions and interact with our leaders that are leading and Pastora is there, you know. And I would want for us to be able to somehow, before the whole Bible engagement project ends for this year, we want to be able to at least see how the working of the Holy Spirit through the scriptures that operate among us throughout this week. And by the way, it's not only us going through this lesson. The teaching right now for the kids is the same with you. What you're hearing now, same thing with the kids right now. They will be engaged into the scripture of what it is that we can receive our divine healing. So let's start with Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says in the story, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly. Say the word quickly. Well, no social media. No internet, but the word spread quickly. Now, don't underestimate the word of God, the good news, the miracle. It can spread quickly. I need for you to understand in the spirit, there are things so divine, human mind cannot comprehend. So when you read one word quickly, you would know that it's the wind, the ruach of the Holy Spirit that will carry the word that even the person is not there in the actual meeting, God, Holy Spirit can reveal that to the person. So what happens even here today? They are not here, but when you pray and intercede in the spirit, God will reveal his word. God, the Holy Spirit himself will reveal his word to the people you're standing right now and interceding for. So when he returned to Capernaum, hallelujah, several days later, news spread quickly that he was back home. Why? Because that's part of his ministry area, just like Hacienda Heights. Okay, soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, something began to happen. First and foremost, divine healing is good news. Divine healing is not apart from the good news of salvation, because it's all one package work at the cross. Got it? The whole package of the good news is the work, finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So when we talk about the wounds of Jesus that heals, that's on the cross. For everything that transpired, this is a whole package of what God would want to do for those that believe in Him. So divine healing is good news. It's never apart from the good news of salvation, from the personhood of the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and soon coming King. He wants to return to His, maybe we say, hometown. He was born in Nazareth, but Capernaum is more of a bigger city or a bigger community where the gospel has to preach. He has done many miracles there. This is not the only paralytic guy that He touched. There were many teachings and gospels. So, you know, the degree of saturation of the gospel in Capernaum has the capacity to spread the word. So now you understand the capacity of the gospel to spread the word. So Jesus intensified the presence of the gospel in Capernaum. Why light the night? We want to intensify the presence of the gospel in Hacienda Heights. If Jesus has to come back to Capernaum again, Jesus, come back, visit Hacienda Heights one more time. We set apart that Saturday, Lord, for Your holy habitation. Hallelujah. You reveal Yourself. So when we do things around here, it's not just because we want an event. We want Jesus to be present. So if He has to come back to Capernaum again, hallelujah, come back, Lord. Here in Hacienda Heights, come back, Lord. Hallelujah, to Los Angeles. Come back, Lord, to California. Come back, Lord, to USA. Come back, Lord, to every nation. Hallelujah. Every city in the world, because they needed to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how missional the gospel? The Spirit of the Lord is not just thinking about a little locality, but He was thinking about the rest of the world. So when He concentrated on Capernaum, because He understood the capacity of how the spread of the gospel that has to happen. So when you read lines, and Jesus returned to Capernaum, you know, you want it personal? Jesus actually wants to return to your heart. Jesus wants to return and saturate your life. He has preached there. He has performed miracles there. But Jesus wants to do it again. Did you hear that song relate to the I believe? One more time. I believe. I want to see Jesus do it again in Hacienda Heights. I want to see Jesus do it again in your life. Let's not go far. God, I know how I felt about You in my relationship. Just do it again, Lord. Just like when I first fell in love with You. There you go. Don't depart from your first love, because God wants that to remain and stay within you. Let's move on. I can't depart from this Capernaum thing, because I'm a believer of God. We put a stake and ownership to our community that we may present not only people to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, but we can present our community, our city, our state, and our nation to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. The word, the good news, spread quickly. Why? Because it's quick and powerful, like the double-edged sword. The capacity of the Word of God, the only thing is, if we are obedient, if we are be bold enough to be able to share, it has the power to spread. But if you're not bold to share it, there's nothing to spread. You have to speak out the breath of life. By the way, it's not your word. It's Jesus' word. So when you speak out God's word, it is His breath, not yours. The breath of God will give life to people. And that's the result. We are not ashamed of the breath of God. Did you see my little twist there? For I am not ashamed, the scripture actually says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. But I translated it to, for I am not ashamed of the breath of God. Amen. That means it's not you speaking, though you are an oracle or a mouthpiece of God, but the content and the life of the word you speak comes from him. Why you can I be ashamed of it? We can't. And so Capernaum, for the second, third, or whichever time, has to receive again the good news, the gospel, and it says it spread quickly. Hallelujah. We believe that on the light and night, the gospel will be spread in a new level. Come on, agree with me. We're here in Heights. Thank God for the lowest of the low. We want to bring him to the Heights. Hallelujah. So we want to move up to the next level, Heights Worship Center. We can't remain on the status quo, on a plateau level of our faith. We need to keep going up. Until we see Jesus face to face, okay? So here we go. The spread of the word of God. We believe that divine healing, as part of the gospel, has the capacity as well to spread the good news. You know why Capernaum? Back to Capernaum. It's also a fishing village. If you want... you want rumors, chismes, or things to spread out in the community, where would you go? In those days, maybe you go to the well where all the women fetch water. And if you share the word in the well, the word is going to spread like fire because a lot of women are there fetching water. No internet, no social media. The social media of those days, the well. Now, you have to go back to the story of the well where Jesus was, right? He knew. What was the result of that conversation in the well? The whole community came to Jesus. You see the key? It's not bad at all, right? Jesus saw the key of the well. This time, why Capernaum? It's a fishing village. Oh, guys, don't you think you escaped? It was the man. This was Capernaum where he called a lot of men to be disciples, to follow him. And he's got to fish for not more fish, because after this, he's going to fish for more men to follow. Watch this. Golf game. We are fishing for more men. Don't be mistaken, okay? Don't be blinded with the event. It would be an occasion for you to bring your friends to be a part of the game. How long would a golf game go? Maybe 3 hours? You have 3 hours to expose your friend in the game to the light of Jesus that is in you. So, you know, we're intentionally in having activities and fun. An atmosphere of how we're going to share the gospel. Capernaum is a lot of fishermen in that area. So when Jesus has to bring the gospel this time to spread, he's spreading it to the Wall Street of those days, in the financial district of what it is in the main course of the industry in that day. And that's how the gospel spread. Second, he came to a house. Ooh, this is powerful because this is a part of the study of home groups. Before invented any kind of a church plant in Antioch, home church, house church. So Jesus was in the house that he was staying, and it was packed with visitors. When you have visitors coming visit you, don't be absent to church. Oh, pastor, I have family visiting me. Bring them to church. I'm going to say it again because we skip church a lot. My family visiting me from this, from that. What an opportunity. Oh, by the way, every Sunday we go to church. You are welcome. We want you to come. Don't feed them because after church we're going to go to lunch. Come on, people. Be strategic, intentional. in being the light for Jesus. Why be ashamed of it? Oh, no. They came to your house. You're the head. You're the leader. You have the final say. You know why I'm saying this? Because we are pushed to a mold of the world's expectation. Why won't we push the world to the mold and expectation of the Word of God? Let's reverse the stress. Let's reverse the pressure. I recognize the pressure of culture. Why don't we use the pressure of culture for the Word of God, for the kingdom of God? So here we go. Why the house is packed. The house had a visitor. They invited everybody to hear what the visitor has to say. And I pray that whenever we have, I think we still do once a month, every now and then, if you want to volunteer your house for a once a month in person fellowship, that's a lot of food, by the way. You want to be attracted to those in-person home gathering? You have no idea. It's a part of biblical feast. Koinonia, okay? But it's a part of what we do here in church family. So we're making it a pattern to what Jesus was doing. He was utilizing home to be a gathering place for people to hear the gospel. Boy, I need to move fast on this, Pastora. Boy. But they are so good to be talking about. And it was so packed with people and visitors, but there was no room outside the door. Lastly, in this verse 2, and he was preaching God's word. Faith has come by hearing and hearing the word of God. Jesus was watering Capernaum again with faith. So I'm sharing with you with a macro view. Jesus was looking after for the harvest of the whole community, not just the harvest of the house. You know, you have to think big for God. Okay, we're not just doing light the night for our community. We want to make a difference in the whole city. So I need today after church, those 10 slots, Pastora, I need for us to be ready. Those other 10 slots to host a trunk or treat or whichever will be filled after this. So be ready to get the sign up, Tita Joy. We're going to fill it up today. If you can do two, then do two, okay? Yay. Husband and wife for the other, you know, and all of that. Your kids maybe, and disciple them on how to host one. All right, there you go. And so he was preaching the word so that things that will come out of that moment of encounter is a result of faith. Yeah. It was not only spectacular healing. It was not only a demonstrative work of God that everybody will be amazed. But the amazement and wonder to the healing and the miraculous that has to happen later on is based upon the word of God. Why? Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. All of those that Jesus healed later on died. But did the word die? It's still up today. It's here. We're reading about it. That's the reason why the importance of every miracle, every sign and wonder that we see has to be based upon the word of God. Boils down to the fact that the source of faith that brought about the miraculous is from the word of God. That's why Jesus preached the word. So divine healing is good news. Number two, divine healing demands action. We have to act upon the word of God. Verse 3 and 4. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. The house was packed, remember? So they dug a hole. Anybody dug a hole? Nobody. I'm just trying to check, okay? So here we go. They dug a hole through the roof and above their head, and they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. On top of the stage. Stay for a little while. Two guys stay in the side. Stay. There you go. Don't go. Don't go too far. Everybody give a hand to the Lord. He's alive, by the way. Give a hi, Jake. You know why I'm doing this? Because words spoken doesn't paint a picture. Images like this sticks to the brain. That's how the brain processes. I'm not trying to help the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do it by himself. But to help our humanness, I cannot produce a movie. MTV, no. Holy Spirit can produce this one. We have to be creative in gospel presentation. I'm sharing with you from raw, anything out of your fingertips, so that when you are to demonstrate the gospel, nobody can. You see, all eyes are here. I don't have to call your attention. That's the power of what it is, you know, in painting the picture. And so when you read the scripture, it says that there were four men. Why? Because those four men were full of faith. They were men of faith. We pray that men's fellowship, men's ministry will be men of faith. Come on, all men say amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, every now and then we have breakfast. Guys, so men, at least you come to golf, you come to men's breakfast, and we had a few times we gather also for different other things. But hey, we can always be a part of Light the Night to help set up. Right, guys? Okay. So, men of faith, it says that four men arrived carrying paralyzed men on the mat. Hallelujah. Faith demands action. If not for the faith of the four men, there was no miracle. It has to start with people who has to believe the how fast the gospel spread. They heard about Jesus. Again, guys, no social media, no text messaging. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Those guys, did you hear? Let's bring our buddy up to where Jesus was. That's how quick. It might be word of mouth, but, you know, there was no delay in action. When God's Holy Spirit began to speak to you about the word that you needed to do, you have to act on it quickly. Because I believe there is an in-stored blessing, there is an in-stored miracle, and there is an in-stored revelation that God wants to bring to you when you and I obey to carry out in faith what the word has been shared with you. So right now, you're being challenged to obedience if you act on your faith. This four act on their faith. That's why there is a subject, an element that Jesus can use to be able to bring out the miraculous. They dug up a hole. Their faith was challenged. Not only, I don't know how many miles they have to carry the kid. You know, why? So every step you think that they carried, the paralytic guy was easy. You guys were conversing. Are you really going to do this? You know, I don't know. The Bible is silent. You can, I'm using this word, you can make your holy, sanctified imagination. Got the word? Yeah. Holy, sanctified imagination. Whatever was the conversation, I believe there was no negative person. I just begin to believe that they were just encouraging its faith. Man, I heard the miracle Jesus did a while ago when he was here. Oh, blah, blah. And all of those miracles are being narrated fresh. Come on, man, let's go faster. But when they, the house was full. We're going to go. Let's go back home. Oh, no. You see, faith build up every step closer. And the challenge of their faith to see the house was full. Let me give you a word of warning. When you are about, stay cool, Jake, don't. When you are about at the edge of your miracle, catch this. When you are about at the edge of your miracle, there will be a barrier. There will be a discouragement. There will be a hindrance. Oh, the house was full. We're not gonna make through it. You're already at the edge of your miracle. You're almost there. Say, oh, let's just go back home. Yeah, so we didn't want to disturb. You know, we didn't want to create a scene. But you're at the edge of your miracle. You just have to persevere. This morning, you are here because you are at the edge of your miracle. Come on, you just stand up right now. Stand up, stand up. Jesus, we are at the edge of our miracle. We don't want, Lord, to go back. We want to persevere. We want to move on. We have to push through in Jesus' name because we're in the right place. We have the right word. We have the right faith to believe you for the impossible. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we step out in faith, believing for the miraculous, for the signs and wonders that we are to receive right now in our personal lives, in our home, in our family, for our friends that even is not here, but we are standing for their sake in Jesus' name, that they too will receive their blessing. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Rejoice. Come on, give a shout of praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Pastor, it's not over. We might have to pray three or several other prayers, but you and I just want to decree and declare, Heights Worship Center, you are at the edge of your miracle. Lord, we stood 2 years for this community. We're not going to back out now. Hallelujah for the miraculous that is bound to happen. Because you can do it again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I just have to pray that for myself and for each one of you. Stand still. You know what? How comforting it is. It's stressless, Pastora, to preach with other people standing with you. What a comfort. You know, you're all standing here sweating it out. And you guys are all sitting there comfortably. And when the air conditioning hits you, boy, you have a challenge to stay awake, right? Thank you, Jake. You're going to be preaching this one of these days. You're going to. This is no accident. You know what? I was driving together with Jake and said, Pastor, I learned all of these Bible verses. He quoted to me 3 or 4 Bible verses. And say, I want to teach this one of these days. You know, and all of that. So here's a preacher coming up preaching. When he gets up there, hallelujah, he received that anointing. He received that blessing, hallelujah. Dug up a hole. I see that as a persevering faith. You know, faith that doesn't give up. Faith at the edge of the miracle. And they lowered the paralytic one, man, on his mat, right in front of Jesus. Hallelujah. Believing, here's now the proclamation, believing that Jesus was the divine healer. Amen. Why I say that, believing that Jesus used the word divine healer, because every healing in the name of Jesus is divine healing. Let me suggest to you that every time you use the word healing, you include the divine. It refers to the miracle working power of Jesus at work. Divine. I was healed divinely. Healed by Jesus, the divine healer. Because we ascribe back. We give honor to whom was the power source coming from for your miracle, for our miracle. And so they lower the man on his mat, right down in front of Jesus, because he's the only divine healer that was present. Next, following, almost there. Verse 5. Do we got verse 5, please? And everybody read together aloud. Ready, go.
Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are
perfect. How did the Bible describe the paralytic man? My child. Okay, my man. No, my child. Okay, there was something there that was fast track, because he knew that the root cause of the sickness was a result of sin. There will be a conversation later on that talk about his sins are forgiven, you know. But now we could see that Jesus said, seeing their faith, 1, 2, 3, 4. Boy, that's solid faith, right? Where two or three agreeing, it shall be done. But there were four. I guess they exceeded the measure of the expectation of Jesus. I need only three to agree. But there was the fifth one. He's not going to be on that mat if they're not agreeing to the fact. I'm going to receive my... He didn't try to jump off. Of course, he's paralytic. You know, he can be rolled over, whatever was the condition. But I'm just expanding your sanctified imagination of possibilities that could have aborted the miracle. But because they knew they were at the edge of that miraculous work of the divine healer. And so seeing their faith, I just did ask Brother Bob this morning, you know, I knew I need to do something about this. But I did not do it until I came. Holy Spirit, you know, it's not about a show. It's just about, if you want, you order it. We're waiters, we deliver. You understood the language? You order it, Lord, we deliver. Why? We're waiters. Worshippers are waiters. You got to be ready to deliver what he orders. Songs line up, he orders. We deliver as a congregation to bring a sacrifice of worship. That's the reason why we have all of those songs that was ordered. We all delivered. Not only the musicians and the singers on stage. We all are the worship team in this house. We delivered what he... So the same way that the preaching, every time Pastora comes up to preach it, here, it is the order. She delivers. We deliver. What the word? I said, Brother Bob, would there be some kind of a mat? And you know, Brother Bob, I don't know. He went to the... I have to tell the story because there could have been none. This little thing here played a vital role. If there was nothing there, somehow it was discarded, whatever. Brother Bob found it, and when he brought it, okay, Lord, that's my sign. You ordered, you provided, okay? And so in whatever way, we say that upon seeing their faith, Jesus said, and with this seeing their faith, he said, my child, your sins are forgiven. He went to the very root of the source of paralysis. Paralysis was the symptom. The root cause was sin. For him to... How would you want to be treated? By the symptom or by the very source where the diagnosis of your sickness come from? If we try to treat the symptom, the disease, the sickness is going to come back. Why? We didn't go to the root. That's why we give everyone an opportunity to be restored to a relationship with Jesus Christ, so you can plug on to the very source of your miracle. You can plug on to the very source of your healing, because he's the divine healer. And so when he said, hallelujah, your moment has come, son. You ready to go? He said, my child, your sins are forgiven. And then he moved on to say, Jesus knew him. Then he said, get up your mat and walk. Let's just skip a portion. So, get up. Fold your mat. Come on. Come on. Oh. Now you know the kid is disciplined by the mom. Okay. And Go in the name of the Lord. Gentlemen, thank you. Give a hand. I'm looking at the clock. Wow. If you go to online and look on the outline, there will be many more verses. Many more verses. Because I have listed there several other verses for you to be talking about how Jesus has identified lack of faith. I have verses on how the disciples there were found lack of faith. But those four guys, they were full of faith. Jesus was impressed. But there were times Jesus saw that even his disciples, he said, oh, you of little faith. Then we could see and also hear that the word was first, then second was faith, then works third, and wonders came, okay? So there was that progression in seeing on how the Holy Spirit has just caused that miraculous to happen. So second to that, divine healing heals the whole person. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so they asked them, why do you question in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Amen. Jesus knew what they were thinking on their minds. That means Jesus can heal mental health issues. Their reasoning was wrong. Jesus knew what was going through their mind. Jesus knows all your mindset right now, and he is the transformer of minds. Amen. Jesus is the transformer of minds. Jesus is the renewing power of the mind. What is going through your mind right now, be exposed to the truth, is going to change. It's going to be renewed to a more powerful, to a more discerning mind of the things of God. So Jesus knew about, that's why he can heal minds. He can heal the innermost hurt. He can heal the innermost wounds in the heart and mind of people. Jesus saw a spiritual wound under a discussion about forgiving of sin. Second, Jesus also heals about being able to bring about the authority, hallelujah, of who he is in being able to be the Son of God that would bring forgiveness not only to the paralytic, but bring forgiveness and healing to the rest of the world. So Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. So therefore, divine healing for the spiritual sin of separation from God. One more time. Divine healing for spiritual sin of separation from God. Divine healing for the soul that is surrendered to God. Soul is mind, will, and emotion. And God can heal the soul to be surrendered to God. And God heals the body because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He can bring wholeness into this spiritual temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. So when Jesus commanded, stand up, this is good. Word up. I'm so tempted to make an illustration of this. Stand up, that means you can stand on a firm foundation. Pick up, that means broken life made hope. He can pick up the pieces together. Holy Spirit, elaborate. That's what I can do now. I allow right now the Holy, these are powerful words. When you read scriptures, We say, stand up where? How? You know, what? Why? But it was Jesus who said, come on, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. Stand up. He commanded that paralysis right there then to be dead, and resurrection life came. Why? It was the breath of life. You heard the stand up word, right? Paralysis heard the breath of life. Did you got the drama of the word? Paralysis did not hear stand up. Paralysis heard the breath of God. So in creation day, when God has to say, let there be light, that was the same breath, let there be light. Amen. That let there be life. That was paralysis. So when you stand up in faith to believe God for what his word has to say, watch this, your sickness and disease doesn't hear what you say verbally. Your sickness and disease hears the breath of life. Here's the breath of life. Because those words were not yours. You were acting on the breath of God. You were manifesting faith that you could not see. You're just hoping for, but it took action. You came to church this morning because you acted on your faith, because you are going to encounter the presence of Jesus. You're going to be recharged. You're going to be encouraged. You will receive the joy that will be able to spark continually your faith in being able to believe God for more. Stand firm in the foundation. Pick up the broken pieces of your life because he has made you whole. Here we go. And what was the last word he said? Go. They say, go home, sleep well, retire. No. What was the last word of Pastora last week? Go, go, go. You heard that? Invite, invite, invite. I wish in your dreams you will hear Pastora Dawn's voice. Go, invite. Go, invite. I hope you won't sleep well. No, I'm kidding. You know, I'm joking, right? Okay. But he said, go. Well, go home to your Jerusalem. Come on. Go home to your Judea. Go home to your Samaria. Go home to the uttermost part of the earth. You want to fulfill that? That's the Great Commission. Now, when you read the Bible, when you read Scripture, ask the Holy Spirit to jump out of you. Literally. Capture attention. Because we speed read. We know. You know. I pray the Holy Spirit will cause every letter. Because they're living word. Spirit of life. They're life. Don't miss the resuscitating presence of the word of God. That resuscitates us in different aspects of our life. So when the word go, I was thinking, wow, go home? I have to ask myself, wow, what was really home for him? But if the journey is a lifetime journey, wherever that guy has to go, hallelujah, until he goes home to be with the Lord, he has to be able to tell his witness. And so I begin to realize, oh, that's the same power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. So I believe, worship team, come up with, please, thank you. We believe that God would want for us to see how he continually work out all of this, what he desires for us, because he knows that with all of this that he wants to complete in our lives, when we see that the good news, divine healing is good news. Divine healing demands action. Divine healing responds to faith. And divine healing heals the whole person. I reserve that last statement because all we see, he want to heal mind, spirit, and body. Shall we all stand together? We're standing at the edge of our own miracle. Whatever that is, he can do it again. So I believe God, the Holy Spirit, will continually usher us to more than we expected when we come to be able to surrender, give our whole life.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.